Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of In the Room with Adele James. I am super excited to be here. Week two of the revamp. Let's go, people. I will set the scene immediately. So I am currently in my digs. If you could see me right now, you'd actually lol quite hard because I am currently in my room. So I'm in a really, really lovely house up in Newcastle. And I just have to say right off the bat, Newcastle, my people from Newcastle, you guys are so lucky. I love it here. What a beautiful, beautiful city, gorgeous people, a very young city, especially because the theatre that we've been working at, the Northern Stage, is in the centre of town. And it's right by the university. So it's a lot of very young people around. And I don't know, it's honestly made me feel a bit like I've got a home away from home. I feel at home here, which is gorgeous. And I was really looking forward to coming up to Newcastle, actually. But having actually now spent the week here, for me, it's gone too fast. It's gone way too fast. I love it here. I'm really having a great time. But it is actually Sunday. I'm cutting this one a little bit fine because obviously this podcast comes out every Monday. So I'm recording, editing and popping it out within 24 hours, which is extraordinarily ambitious of me. But, you know, the week has been weeking. I've just been enjoying the sights of Newcastle and obviously doing the show, the importance of being earnest still with ETT, the Leeds Playhouse and Kingston Rose on co-producing. And yeah, I'm in my digs in my attic room, but you would laugh so hard because I am literally underneath a really heavy duvet. It's kind of hurting my neck already and we're only like 30 seconds in, so that's hysterical. That's where I am. What I've been doing this week is the show. I also did an escape room with the cast, which was so fun. And what else have I done? Not a lot, really. Just the show. I mean, I say not a lot. That's incredibly exhausting and it's taken a lot of my energy, but I've enjoyed it. I'm feeling really, really good actually today. I've just had a lovely lunch with two of my castmates, a lovely restaurant in Newcastle called Geisha, who do just such good Pan-Asian food. Like if you ever come to Newcastle, you're from Newcastle, maybe you already know about Geisha, but big up to you, man, because your food slaps. Very good value for money. I ordered way too much, but that means I've got dinner for later on, so, you know, not all bad. Anyway, I'm just rambling now. I've set the scene. I'm in Newcastle. I'm up in my digs room. Digs being the accommodation that I'm staying at while I'm on tour in this city. So I'm staying in somebody's home and I'm feeling good, but let's get into it and we can talk a bit more about touring. This is In the Room with Adele James, and here is the unfiltered version of my story. So the present moment, you meet me under a duvet for sound quality. We can't be having a repeat of last week. Absolutely no, thank you. This week has been a bit of a jumble for me in terms of like mental health, just because we are 6 weeks now into our tour, at least since the show has been open, but it's been 2 months since I've been on the road because we were in Leeds for a month, given that we were finishing our rehearsals. We started our rehearsals at the beginning of August in London and we finished our rehearsals in Leeds because, as I said before, the Leeds Playhouse was a co-producer of our show. So we finished our rehearsals up in Leeds and then we began our first 2 weeks of shows there and then we went on the road for 3 weeks. So we've been going yeah for a while now. And you know, if you haven't toured before, then all I have to say about touring is that it is grueling. It can be really, really grueling, but I think above all else I feel happy because I really like it here. As tired as I am, as drained as I feel, I do still feel good in my mental health, but it has been a bit of a kind of back and forth in that respect over the last few weeks, I would say, really, because it does start to grate on you after a while. It does start to wear on you, I think, just being on the road all the time, living out of a suitcase. But generally, I'm feeling good. I feel good about my place in the industry just because I don't really have to worry about work at the moment. I'm sure after I get past Liverpool next week or this week, if you're well, you are listening to the podcast, so I'm in Liverpool by the time this comes out. And I'm sure once I get past this week in Liverpool, I will be feeling perhaps a bit more apprehensive about what comes next. And, you know, we'll get to that in due course. But for now, at least, I'm feeling quietly confident and happy just to be doing something that I love. And yeah, I'm under no illusion that that's a really privileged position to be in. But I think it's important to celebrate the small joys and the big joys and wins in this life and in this industry. So, you know, and yeah, personally, not much to report, really. Nothing has really changed too greatly in the last kind of week since we last spoke. Yeah, I'm just out here existing, enjoying, living day to day. So I think this is actually going to be quite a short episode today, if I'm being honest. The main thing I really want to talk about is what it's like to be on tour, some like tour survival advice, I guess. Yeah, let's move on to the outtakes for this week's episode. Actors and non-actors alike, we are busy, busy people. So my coffee lovers, it is my great pleasure to tell you, coffee cup in hand, about the wonderful London Nootropics. London Nootropics make adaptogenic coffee blends that are designed to help you stay balanced and flow through your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee whilst minimizing the side effects such as jitters, anxiety and crashing that I often experience so much with regular coffee. Made with the highest quality medicinal mushroom extracts and other adaptogens, each blend is designed for a specific purpose. Today, I'm having their Zen blend, the most balancing blend. It has ashwagandha, which is known to work on our adrenals to help balance our cortisol, minimizing side effects such as jitters and anxiety, which I get the worst from regular coffee. And it also has CBD. I love this blend. I absolutely love this blend. This is the kind of blend you can drink at 10 o'clock in the evening and go to sleep like a baby. You can find your flow and be your best self too with London Nootropics Adaptogenic Coffee, and you can do so with 15% off any order using the voucher code ADELEJ, that's A-D-E-L-E-J, on londonnootropics.com exclusively. That's London, NOOTROPICS.com. This is my absolute favourite and go-to coffee nowadays for such a busy lifestyle. I hope you guys enjoy. Okay, so my outtakes for this week, my weekly reflections. As I say, I really want to talk about touring in general. Touring 101, shall we call it. So as I say, I just sat down for a really lovely meal with two of my co-stars, Daniel Jacob and Anita Reynolds, who are playing Lady Bracknell and Dr. Chasuble, respectively, in The Importance of Being Earnest. And we had a really cute chat just about what we think surviving on tour really requires. Like, if somebody said to you, okay, you're going on tour tomorrow, you've got one case to take with you, what's the essentials? What are you really going to need to get through that tour, no matter what the length of it is? Ours is a 3-month tour in total, but, you know, tours can go up to 18 months even. We've come up with a list. Now, you might want to add things to this list. You might want to swap a couple of things out, but from us having been on tour now for 2 months, and a lot of us have done tours before as well, before this one, we've come up with this conclusive list. So from Daniel, we've got a good book or a comic, we've got a Nintendo Switch, or, you know, any game device of your choosing. Chargers, a charging pack. It's so important, so, so important. My worst nightmare, honestly, and I don't know how sad this is, but my worst nightmare is leaving my house without my phone charger and my laptop charger, because am I really trying to buy an Apple charger on the road? Absolutely not. Hot sauce. I mean, that one just goes without saying, really. A robe. Comfort is really important, especially if you're staying in digs or you're staying in other people's homes. Having something, for me, a robe and also some slippers, like some sliders or some proper slippers, particularly as we move into the winter months. And if you're going places that are colder, like Newcastle, Liverpool, maybe Scotland, Wales, being able to feel comfortable. And for me, I don't know, I just have this weird thing, yeah, where I can't put my feet on floors that I don't know, even in socks, like carpets and stuff that I don't know. It probably sounds really ridiculous, but I need my slippers. I need them. That's my little home comfort. Like, I just can't live without it. Cutlery, personal cutlery, so a knife, a fork, a spoon, and a teaspoon. Something that you can just have on you all the time. You're often eating on the go, even when I eat in other people's homes. Like, again, I just have this thing about not being able to use things that I don't know. I'm maybe a bit of a germaphobe in that way, but anyway, it's just nice to have your own things. And you can get some really lovely, like, ethical, sustainable cutlery, like bamboo. And yeah, it's just, I think it's nice to have your own personal set for a tour. A pharmacy box or a first aid kit, essential. Plasters, Savlon, maybe some Difflam, some stuff for your throat, vitamins, paracetamol, ibuprofen, the basics, you know, just stuff to kind of look after yourself while you're away. I mean, you can generally buy those things with relative ease, but time isn't always on your side. So I think it's useful just to have a little kit for yourself, of safe things that you know work for you that you can just call on when you need to. For me now, another really big important thing is a pillowcase. Now, this is not to stamp on anybody's bedding. It's just that I've got very curly hair and those curls, they need good looking after. They need good tending to. I don't really like wearing bonnets in bed. I think they make my head a bit too hot. Maybe I just haven't found the right bonnet yet, but a pillowcase, a satin pillowcase for me works wonders. So I always take my own pillowcases with me. Of course, my laptop or my iPad, one or the other, I think you don't often need both, but I like to be able to do a bit of my own personal work. Obviously, I have my coaching going on. I want to be able to watch like Netflix and stuff. You don't always get a TV in your room, especially if you're not staying in hotels. It's a bit hit and miss as to whether or not you're going to have access to television. So with a laptop or an iPad, all you need is Wi-Fi access. And then the world is pretty much your oyster in that respect. And very actor specific, the last one, a portable self-tape kit. So a tripod that you can fit into your bag with ease, some kind of lighting. I always go for a ring light because it doubles as a tripod for your phone. And then just like a nice, good, cheap microphone, even a lapel mic. That's actually what I'm speaking into today. It's not the mic that I would usually use to do podcasting, but it does the job. You know what I mean? It does the blooming job. So yeah, a portable self-tape kit, because, you know, there's nothing to say that you will get an audition while you're away, but there's also nothing to say that you won't. And I think it's always better to be prepared than suddenly get one through and you're like, oh, kind of flapping around in the wind, not being able to record that to the best of your ability and to the highest quality that you could have if you had a portable self-tape kit with you. So yeah, tripod, lighting, microphone, Bob's your uncle. Oh, my love, before we go on, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you might be able to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the follow button, the rate button, whatever the platform allows for. 5 stars would be so awesome and a cheeky review, but whatever you think is fair is great too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry to kill the vibe. The other thing about touring, as I say, I'm staying in digs at the moment. And actually, when I first came onto this job, I was adamant that I didn't want to stay in digs at all, except for in Leeds, because we were in Leeds for a month. And I think I've done a month in a hotel before, and I find that really hard, not being able to cook for myself, not being able to wash my clothes, not being able to really settle in the way that you can in a home. I was quite adamant that I wanted to do hotels for the rest of the tour. But then I kind of changed my mind, actually, because, you know, so when you do a tour, you get an allowance that is exclusively for your expenses. So that covers your food expenses and your accommodation and your travel. And what you can normally find with that is, if you play it right, you can actually save quite a bit of money from your touring allowance, from your expenses allowance, depending on what you manage to find, as I say, and how well you can kind of manage your budget in terms of your food and stuff. And actually now, you know, it's afforded me the opportunity to be able to go on holiday. We've got a 2-week break after Liverpool from our tour, and I'm going to LA, which is going to be fabulous. I'm going to meet up with Sam Benjamin, who was previously a guest on the podcast back when it was called Making My Way, the second guest that I ever had on the podcast. And I'm going to be staying with a friend of mine that I went to Strasbourg with in New York, who now lives in LA. And I'm really, really excited to see my friends and just honestly just have a holiday. Like, I think when people hear LA, they think, oh, it must be an industry thing. No, girl, I want to go to the beach. I want to be in the sun, and I want to drink and have fun with my friends. You know, it's a really fun place to just go and like hang out. So actually, you know, staying in digs has afforded me that opportunity. But what I will say about staying in other people's homes is, possibly quite obviously, that you are staying in someone else's home, and that can come with some complications. More often than not, I find it to be really quite a joyous experience. But obviously, you know, you're walking into a set of rules and an environment that is preordained. It's not a space you can really make your own. You're using someone else's kitchen, you're using their utensils and their crockery and their, you know, bathroom. And sometimes you get your own bathroom and that's great. Sometimes you can get self-contained accommodation, which means that your accommodation is completely independent of the landlords, or even that the landlord isn't even present in the building. If it's like a flat or something that people just rent out for theatre professionals. But I think the thing about digs is that, and we've all been burned by digs, everybody on the company at some point has been burned, whether on this tour or on a previous tour. And the thing about that is that you've really just got to do your research, and you also have to understand that even once you've done your research, sometimes you might still get burned. And that's a tricky thing to manage, really, because you're working really crazy hours, you're working late into the night, you're tired, you're traveling, you know, you're giving so much of yourself for such short bursts of time. And then there'll be days when you've only got one show and actually you've got so much time on your hands, and that means you're spending a lot of time during the day potentially in someone's home. It's a tricky thing to navigate, and you know, you're dealing with new personalities, and the place that you're staying has got to be a place that you feel, I think, comfortable. It's got to be a place that you are going to be able to feel rested at. There's nothing worse than doing the job that we do and then going back to somewhere that you can't relax in, because in that case, where are you getting your rest? Where is the opportunity for your body and your mind to rest and reset and recharge so you can be giving yourself to your work? There isn't one if you don't have somewhere you can really relax in. So I would say, you know, really do your research, read reviews. If you're using Theatre Digs Booker, which is probably the most well-known UK touring digs company for finding accommodation while you're on tour in lots of places in the UK. If you contact theatres directly, they normally have their own digs list. Although the thing that Theatre Digs Booker does have to its advantage is that they have reviews. Check how recent those reviews are. Check what people are saying. You'll find that often people write quite coded messages. So sometimes you'll read something like, oh, you know, such and such treated me like family, you know, very talkative, very chatty, very this, that, the other. That means you're probably going to be stopped and for conversation a lot of the time. And not everybody wants that. Some people do. They want to be surrounded by other people and they don't want to be left to their own devices. But for me personally, I want to be left alone. Like, no disrespect, but like, I give so much of myself at work. I just want to be left alone at home. You need to feel like you're going to get what you need from that place. You know, look at what people are saying about, really look at what people are saying about the facilities and things like that. And definitely check the dates on those reviews, because if there isn't a review that's come up recently, it's impossible to say how accurate that accommodation will be like now. So yeah, that's something I would really say to be mindful of. But yeah, you can also go through the theatres themselves. So if you contact the theatres directly and say, hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm doing this tour on these dates, do you have a digs list? And, you know, ring around people and get a sense of who those people are, because at the end of the day, you're going to be living with them. So I do think that's quite important if you can get that. And if, you know, you do end up in a situation where you're staying with somebody and you feel uncomfortable or something's not right, I very recently had an experience where upon first entering the accommodation, the digs host was very judgmental and rude. They made a lot of comments about myself and my castmate. They made comments about our appearance, about what we were eating. They just made it. And I, you know what? That might have just been their crack, but it wasn't for me. You know, that's not how I want to feel in the first 10 seconds of meeting somebody. I didn't feel like I could relax. And in that instant, I had to go to the company manager of our show, the company stage manager, and just say, look, I need your help. I'm in a situation I don't want to be in. I don't feel like I can relax in this place. I don't feel like the room is as advertised, because it wasn't. The facilities were not as advertised either. And, you know, just know that if you do end up somewhere that is less than satisfactory based on what it is that you need realistically, then there is support available to you. That's why you have a company manager. Normally the theatre can potentially offer you some support. The theatre that you're working at for that week or those weeks can support you in helping you to find an alternative or to deal with that. And And actually, this was something that I'd booked through Theatre Digs Booker, and they were very, I have to say, very, very helpful in helping us resolve the situation, acting as our mediator for getting us out of that place, making sure the person that we were staying with was compensated for the one night that we did stay there, and closing that account, because it turned quite unpleasant, actually, that week. This particular host was very upset that we didn't want to stay, and there was some money confusion going on, which was not either of our fault, actually, it turns out in the end. But we needed that mediator, and I just want you to know that if you do end up in a situation that's less than satisfactory, that there are mediators available to you and that you should use them. Don't suffer in silence. It's not worth it. And actually, kind of on that, I would say the longer I've gone on in this industry, and the older I get, I suppose, and the more I tour, the more I realize how much more it is worth it to spend that little bit more money to be more comfortable. Yeah, saving money is great, and you know, you can put that money towards XYZ, but at the end of the day, money is money. And you know, you just, when you're working in the industry that we work in, and you're doing the kind of job that we do as actors or as creatives, because, you know, it's really difficult being in the crew on a tour as well. The hours are insane. It's really, really difficult. And while you might not be spending a lot of time at your digs, it is still, as I say, somewhere that you need to feel like you can really relax and let go and rest and recharge. And so I think just spending that extra 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 even pounds is worth it. And, you know, when you think about it, really, if you're being given that money to spend on expenses, it's actually probably worth spending the money, because it's all a tax write-off anyway. So there are certain expenses that you're allowed to admit as a self-employed person, or a person with a limited company, depending on what your self-employed status is. You can write off those taxes, and so any money that you are saving is money you're just going to end up getting taxed on, like the rest of your income. That's kind of how that works in terms of accounting. So I think if they've given you enough money and you can afford and still, you know, afford to eat comfortably and travel comfortably during the tour, if you can afford to stay somewhere that's a little bit more expensive, but that you know is going to be somewhere where you can really rest and let go and, you know, shake off the day and prepare yourself for work at, it's always worth spending that money. The work's got to come first, right? So you've got to take care of yourself in whatever way you can in order to make sure that the work can continue to come first as much as possible. And actually, just a brief thing, I suppose, on taxes in general. I'm not going to go into taxes too much in this episode, but expenses. There are a lot of things that you can claim back on tax, but it is very difficult to do so and very risky to do so if you do not keep your receipts. Please, I implore you, if this is not something you are good at or don't know about, call up HMRC immediately and ask them as many questions as you want about being self-employed and taxes and receipts and expenses. It's so important. Everything you eat, even some of the clothes that you buy, if they are for the tour specifically or for performance specifically, everything you drink within reason. I'm not talking about alcohol, guys. Things that you need to buy for the tour, like things that I need for my dressing room. Just keep your receipts, because you're going to need them when it comes around to doing a self-assessment or doing your accounts at the end of the financial year. If you don't have them and you get investigated by HMRC, it's going to cause big problems for you. So I just warn you now, keep your receipts. Okay, and then moving on to making our way. So this week I had a really quite in-depth conversation with somebody about their training journey and about when one is quote-unquote ready to start auditioning and to start working. And I think, to be honest, the thing I was really trying to articulate, and I hope that came across, was that that decision is yours to make and yours only. A lot of people will give you a lot of advice. Even me here now, you're listening to this, I'm just giving you my advice. Like, it's for you to take with a pinch of salt. Whatever means something to you, means something to you, and whatever doesn't, you can toss that right out. I won't be offended. I can only speak from my own experience, and yours might be different and it might not be relevant. Or you might have found things to be different for yourself, and that's absolutely fine. That's your prerogative. But that kind of goes with every aspect of the industry. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about what you should and shouldn't be doing. And I think if you feel ready for something, then by all means, you can go for it. You know, just because you start auditioning while you're training doesn't mean you're necessarily going to book a job. Just because you book a job while you're training doesn't mean that you don't still need more training. You know, I mean, for me, I've said it before, I firmly believe that training is an ever ongoing process. You're training whilst you're on the job, you're training whilst you're in the acting class, it doesn't really ever stop. There's not really ever a point where you're going to stop learning, because there's so much. We couldn't ever possibly learn all there is to learn about human beings, first and foremost. And that's primarily our job, is to transform into these other human beings or other things, if you're not playing a human being, I suppose. I guess what I wanted to say was, and what I've tried to reiterate to this person was, people always give you advice from the only place they know how. And I do believe that people give advice from what they believe is the best place, you know, with love and with good intentions, mostly. I don't believe most people are trying to sabotage us, specifically if we're talking about like mentors or teachers or people who've been in the industry longer than you, who are just trying to guide you and stop you from making the same mistakes that they've made, or just want the best for you, really. But I still don't think that that means that you have to take everything they say as gospel. I think you can listen to them, heed their warnings, and respect their advice, and not have to, treat everything they say as the gospel truth. Because at the end of the day, they don't know your journey. They don't know you the way you know you. And maybe they have a point within what they're saying, but maybe not everything they're saying is the whole point, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. But what I'm just trying to say is, I think it's really important to respect people with more experience than you, but to also understand that your journey is your own. And when people give you advice, they are giving you advice. They're not necessarily, sometimes I think people give advice and it's posited as fact. And there is a difference between opinion and fact, between advice and fact. And at the end of the day, all anybody can really offer you is their opinion, their professional opinion, their creative opinion. And if your creative opinion aligns with theirs, great, follow that advice to the letter. And if it doesn't, challenge why it is that you think that that advice doesn't quite feel right for you, and work from that place. Because as I say, you're the only one that can action that advice anyway. You're the only one that truly knows what feels right for you. And we are creatures who feel primarily. We're instinctual creatures. We work from gut feeling. Logic comes second. So there isn't like a predetermined amount of time that it takes to get to a certain stage. I would say on average, it takes most people about 10 years to get a big, big break in their career. And I say on average, that's not at all the gospel truth, but on average, that's what I've noticed. That's a trend that I've noticed from spending time in the industry myself. I would say a certain level of training is helpful, but it takes different people different amounts of time to get to that level, based on their inherent talent, based on the style of training that they do and how they respond to that, the kind of person that they are. There are lots of things that factor into your ability to progress and succeed within an industry, within any industry, but certainly within this industry. And if someone's giving you advice and you're just not 100% sure about it, that's absolutely fine. But challenge why that is, and determine whether or not it's your ego getting in the way, or whether or not it's because what they're saying is coming from a good place, but it's just not as relevant to you as perhaps they think it might be. I do think you can train and work at the same time. I think that because that's what I did. So I can only speak from my own experience, really. And that is to say that it's a possibility. That doesn't mean it's the right possibility for everybody. But certainly when I was talking to that person, I thought, well, you know, it's not impossible to do the two things at once. And as an untrained actor, not formally trained actor anyway, not drama school trained actor, that is something that I can say is possible. Would it have been easier for me if I had have just trained and then gone into work? Maybe. Who knows? That's a hypothetical that honestly will never be answered. Would it have been different if I had have just worked and never trained? Of course. Would I still be doing it? Who knows? Again, a hypothetical that's not really worth thinking about, because that's not the situation that I am in. And, you know, I've been given that kind of advice before. Oh, you should really go to drama school. Or you should really do this. Or you should really wait. Or you should be doing that now. Or it's time to get on with it. And da, da, da. You know what? Just move at the pace that works for you. Thank people for their words of wisdom, and move on with what works for you, with what serves you, and just leave what doesn't. I think we we put so much pressure on ourselves because it's like, there must be a recipe to success. There isn't, number one. And number two, you also have to bear in mind who is giving you that advice. Is that person working in the industry? What's their lived experience of the industry? If it's career advice we're talking about now, and to be honest, this applies across the board, parents, grandparents, friends, you know, aunts, uncles, bosses. It's not just about being an actor, but you have to look at where someone's coming from with their advice, as well as where you're at, and marry up whether or not you think what's being said to you is actually going to serve you. And you know what? You might decide, no, it doesn't serve me. And then later down the line, be like, oh, I get it now. Okay. It's not too late to action someone's advice after the fact. Alternatively, you might be like, yep, okay, that's really great advice. Let me run with that. And then realize that it's not right for you. That's also okay. We're not here to know all the answers. There isn't an answer. There are only choices. And if you make a choice and it doesn't serve you, then you make a different choice later down the line. That's all we have in this life is choices. So just go with what you think is right for you. Listen to what you're being given. Take what you need, leave what you don't. Of course, if you ever do want to contribute to a Making Our Way segment, all you've got to do is email itrpod@stepintotheroom.co.uk. That is itrpod@stepintotheroom.co.uk. Thank you. All right, people. So my self-care intention for last week was to eat more vegetables. I am glad to report I've had a lot of broccoli this week. Not a lot of other vegetables, I'll be honest, but a lot more broccoli. And I'm very pleased about that because broccoli is my favorite. It's my absolute favorite. I love greens. I think going forward for the next week in Liverpool, my self-care intention is going to be to sleep more, drink less, which is actually something I've been doing this week. I've really cut down on like post-show drinks and stuff like that. But I'm going to continue in that vein, trying to really look after my body in that way and eat even more vegetables, and really sleep more. Sleep is the thing that's starting to really get to me now, especially as we're, you know, 6-7 weeks into the tour and my body is tired and my brain is tired, and I can feel myself sometimes on stage and I'm like, gosh, my mouth is moving and my brain's not working. I just don't want to get lazy with it, you know? So, yeah, that's my self-care intention for this week. The thing that really differs from last week is the sleep, the focus on sleep. And if you used to listen to the podcast when it was Making My Way, you'll know that me and sleep have not been friends for a long, long time. But the thing I'm really going to be working on now is getting my sleeping routine back, getting up at a decent time. I like to have my mornings. I like to have my afternoons. I like to have my full day. But there is, obviously, I have to factor in the fact that I'm working late. So the show comes down around 10. That means even if I stay out but don't have a drink, I'm not getting to bed until at least 11, maybe half 11, 12, which means I'm not going to sleep until maybe half 12, 1. So how does that, you know, what does that do? How does that impact my morning? That means I need to get up later to, you know, accommodate the amount of time that I want to be asleep for. Things like that. So yeah, sleep is the big focus for this week. Going to continue eating my greens, and I am going to continue just cutting down a bit on the alcohol. One thing about me is I just get FOMO. If people are like, oh, let's go for a drink, I'm like, yeah, I want to go for a drink. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to drink. And then people are like, oh, I'm just going to have a gin and tonic. And I'm like, yeah, I can have a gin and tonic. And then before you know it, it's too late, two gins down, and, you know, I'm a lightweight. So it's a lot for me. But I've voiced it. I've put it out to you. You're my accountability partner. That's what I'm going to do. What about you? What's your self-care intention for this week? How are you looking after yourself? What's going to set you on the right path? Just one little thing that you can really just hone in on for this week. And that's it, baby girls, baby boys, baby non-binaries, as Kelechi Okafor always says. But yeah, that's it, guys. As I say, not much to report, really. I just thought I'd give you a couple of little tippies on touring and just looking after yourself and making sure you're making choices that serve you always. All we have is the present moment, y'all. Just keep operating from what's going on for you in the present moment. If it changes, it changes. If it doesn't, great. But that's all we have. That's all we have is the present moment. And I'm really glad to have been able to share this time with you. I'm super grateful that you have given me your time. Do share the episode if you think it would be of use to anyone, if you know anyone who's touring at the moment or anyone who's about to do a tour or is interested in touring as an actor. And I will see you next week. Next week, actually, I've got a very special guest. I don't want to say too much too soon, but I am really, really hoping that I'm going to have someone from the show coming on to be our first guest since the revamp of the podcast. And I think you will absolutely adore this person. They're a great talker, I can tell you that now, and one of my absolute favorite humans from the entirety of my career to date. I'm so glad I've met them, and I'm really looking forward to sitting down and having a chat with them in Liverpool. Don't ask what that accent was, because I do not know. But all that said to say, thank you so much. Lots of love. Please take the best care of yourselves. It's getting cold, man. You know, make sure you've stocked up on vitamins and, you know, fluffy socks and a scarf and gloves. And I'll see you here this time next week, hopefully with a very special guest. Until then, mwah, lots of love.